Hey guys.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the Praise the Game podcast, your source for news, trends, and events in the gaming industry. I am Pete Burrell, joined by Andrew, my brother, and Nick Mollisis.
Oh my god.
We have a so good episode drill. Here for you. We're talking about E3 2017, our wrap-up of this whole week. We've had three separate little mini episodes for you guys this week about Microsoft, Sony, and PlayStation.
Yeah.
Now, well, sorry, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo.
Sony and PlayStation.
Sorry, my mind. Andrew, what do we have for the rest of the episode? What
is our overview? It's we've been doing E3 content all week. We did mini episodes, which was really fun.
Yeah.
And then today we're going to talk about everything wrapping it up. We did some polls. We asked for some comments.
Yep.
People said what they wanted to say to us about all of E3.
On the social media.
Yeah, so we're going to talk, you know, release dates and general news like we usually do, and then we're going to do what's loaded up, what we've been playing, and then we'll get into the topic of the day and get all in about E3 wrap-up.
All in.
But first, why don't we go to the news?
The news. What do we have for the news?
Oh, shit. All right. So other than everything, like the billion things that came out of E3, there were a couple of things that were outside
like
of it that were pretty important. But first, for release dates, the only one we have of note for next week is Dead by Daylight, coming out for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on June 20th.
Yeah.
Developed by 505 Games.
Yeah, if you're familiar with the new Friday the 13th game, this is a very similar type of game.
It almost looks exactly the same to me.
Yeah, I think there's more of a range with this game. You can play as certain survivors. There's different types of survivors that you can play with different benefits as to why you're playing them. Or you can play as one of, I think, three monsters. There's the nurse. There's one who is kind of like Jason.
It definitely looks more polished and like better to me than the other game. Is it essentially the same thing, though?
It's
like an asynchronous multiplayer?
Sort
of like one dude versus a bunch of people?
Yeah, and you have to try to survive. There are different win conditions. You have to rev up some
rev up some engines
that help you, and there's other stuff.
Rev up some engines? What the fuck are you talking about?
Like,
are you getting a car or a generator?
There's generators that you can
just
turn
general
on.
General engines
help you.
Use?
Yes.
You can plug anything into those engines.
General,
you want to get in there, you plug on in.
Yeah, general engines.
Well, anyway, is this early access, do you know, or is it
it's
just
been
a full release?
I'm pretty sure it's been in early access, and now it's coming to full release.
Oh, okay.
I've seen people streaming it.
Okay,
It's been streamable for quite some time.
Streamable.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You think it's better? It's probably going to be better. Though Friday the 13th is selling pretty well on Steam.
It is selling pretty well, yeah. I think people just like know it's janky. Like in the same way, so it's kind of like the Battlegrounds thing, right? It's like, okay, this is early access. Obviously, it's a little jank. But people are finding the fun in it, which is just the multiplayer is really fun.
You also have to keep in mind, though, and we mentioned this last week, is Friday the 13th has the name recognition.
Yeah.
So it's going to have some points there by default.
But in 2017, who's going like, I need my Friday the 13th
fix?
I don't know, man.
That ended in the early 2000s.
Maybe nobody.
Like, I don't know who the hell's even looking for that
anymore.
Yeah,
probably nobody.
Yeah. But the gameplay is fun, so I know that people are enjoying that.
Yeah.
Then, as far as news, there are three main things that happened this week.
Yep.
Rockstar puts an end to GTA 5's mod tool, Open 4.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a big deal because, first of all, on Steam, people are shitting all over the game.
There's been some outrage.
Like, horrible reviews, right?
Yeah, right now I think it's 30,000 votes, and it says overwhelmingly negative. Meanwhile, is GTA 5 one of the best games that have came out? So.
Yeah. So Nick, like, what does this mean for the game and the industry, really? What's Rockstar doing?
What it mean? Well, okay. So it wasn't Rockstar's directive that did this. It was actually their parent company, Take-Two.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Rockstar has to agree with it, no matter what. But Open 4 was the modding tool that was used in GTA 4 and 5 because they use the same physics engine.
Okay.
And it's in the backbone of a lot of mods, both multiplayer and single player alike. And what had happened was Rockstar didn't implement an anti-cheat system, so people were using this to hack online as well and make mods to give them unfair advantages online. So, you know, in response to that, they just decided, hell, the hell with it, we'll take the mod tool down, which... I mean, I'm sure I'm not alone in thinking that, you know, the mod community is the game. That's what keeps the game going,
Yeah.
you know?
I mean, there's
that
some people
it.
Who have been so used to using these mods anyway, and I keep thinking, because I've been watching a lot of roleplay streamers for GTA, or streamers in general who are doing GTA, to liven up the experience of that game, using mods is a core thing. So if this is one that's a substantial mod that people have been using for a while, now it's taken away from them, that has a big impact on how they're playing the game.
Yeah, I think also it's funny, because now that we've started, I feel like mods and kind of that whole thing is a theme of the episode. We're going to talk more about, you know, Bethesda's conference. We're talking more about PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, kind of just different things that have to do with the player base of games. But yeah, it's interesting and it kind of sucks for people that really enjoyed modding the game. But I do understand it. But at the same time, I can't help but think, like, all right, Rockstar, you got like billions. Why don't you just make an anti-cheat rule? Like, they're pumping out DLC. Can't they figure out somehow to implement like a banning rule?
They could. They definitely could. Yeah. Other games have it in place, so it's kind of ridiculous that they don't. Maybe because the player base is too big and they can't catch it all. But by now, GTA is old enough where, like,
it's 4 years old.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Let them mod it. That's going to extend the life of GTA 5 way past its prime.
Mm-hmm. I could see this happening like within the first year of release, but it's 4 years old, the game, at this point.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's kind of funny. Then also we have IO Interactive gained exclusive rights to the Hitman IP this week.
Yeah.
They took it from Square Enix. This is kind of good news because I feel like they did a great job. They were the ones behind the most recent episodic release of it, right? So it's interesting news that Square has let go of the IP and now they have complete control over it.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think about this?
Well, I mean,
I'm a big Hitman fan. I really, really love Blood Money. Like, Hitman Blood Money is one of my favorite games from the previous generation.
I haven't played since you and I were playing them on, like, GameCube, so I don't have a big
impression. We never played them on GameCube. This was Xbox 360.
Oh, sorry, Xbox 360.
Yeah.
So I don't have, like, the biggest opinion on how this is. I'm curious what the reasoning was and what the relationship is now between Square and IO. Like,
probably
why?
Not a good one.
Probably not.
Because Square, they didn't do that great with their release.
Yeah, they find it profitable, so they let go of it.
Yeah, and also I feel like Square is one of those companies that holds on to these IPs
and
then
does nothing with them, right? And so I feel like it's a good thing that we're seeing at least one of their good franchises go to someone who's competent.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm happy to know that, okay, the life of Hitman is still...
Yeah, because in another scenario, we could have had Square just hold on to it and then not have Hitman for like 10 years until they're like, oh yeah, by the way, we have the rights to this.
Exactly.
Yeah. Whereas now they kind of cut them loose and it's like, okay, you can continue and make this game and people aren't going to have to wait for a billion years for it.
Yeah. So I think at the end it's good news. And then we also got some PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds news, which is one of our favorite games here. We play it all the time.
Played it before coming here.
I essentially think that if we don't mention it on What's Loaded Up, just assume that we've been playing it because we do play it every week.
Yeah.
But they're getting a new zombie mode and new updates, including vaulting, which they've been teasing a lot on their Twitter and their social medias. They showed a trailer at E3 of the zombie mode, which looks interesting, but like I'm kind of like eh about like personally.
Well, here's the thing. With these types of games, a lot of them had initially zombies in it, with DayZ, and they haven't worked within the same type of... Yeah, so you can kind of expect them to maybe implement this in this game, but this is also a response to fans. Fans have been making custom games with zombie mode.
They
would have a whole team of people with just wearing nothing and just punching people. And it was hilarious. I've saw quite a few videos of that.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that this seems like a direct response to that in a way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've done such a good job at like taking community feedback and giving updates frequently with new guns, new like optimization and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the vaulting update looks really good. They did a lot more motion capturing, which we play so much and we're always like, oh man, I want to hop over this wall.
Yeah, like six times a match. It's like, oh, I really wish I could vault over this wall that's at knee height.
At this point, we've like mastered the space bar because there's a point you really get mastered to know the jump. You get to know the jump because like you reach your max height at a certain point, so you got to like... If you're on the run and you're trying to get over a short wall, which you should be able to get over, you got to do it the right way. Like, it's a specific, you know, learning curve to jump in the game.
Are you guys skilled PlayerUnknown's players now?
I'm a good... Well, I mean, Nick's always been really good. I think that we're pretty good at the game, but like...
Yeah, we're not bad.
No, we're good at the
tactical awareness that you've developed, though.
Yeah, and we've got more friends coming on it lately, too, which is cool. Yeah. So we're not just playing doubles or singles anymore. We're doing like more team matches, like four or five people, which is awesome.
Then eventually I'll come in and you're going to have to teach me everything again.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen us enough, though. It's just really the controls at a certain point.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for the vaulting. They also teased that chugging the energy drink thing.
What?
They made an animation for
that. Diving out of the windows.
Oh, okay.
Diving out of windows. Like, lots of different things are coming in this game. I'm just so... Like, the game is already really good in early access, and they're just really continuing to push this content out and show that they're they're going to be supporting the game for a while.
Well, so. Speaking about early access, it's just this game took me by surprise. A lot of games don't really, they meander in early access and don't end up really being as substantial as you'd like them to be.
Sorry, I threw that.
You know, but this game, that announcement at E3 that this is going to be coming to Xbox, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was big. This was a big announcement.
Well, they always plan to come to consoles. Yeah. Yep. It was bigger that it's going to be like a, it's going to be a launch exclusive.
I know, but as far as early access games go, like
it's for not
example,
stuck.
No, it's not stuck at all.
DayZ or right. you know all those types of games, King of the Kill, or right?
Yeah,
which is a similar concept. Rust. Those ones didn't work out as well. Necessarily.
Well, it's not.
This one is in the public spotlight in a certain way, and is a possible top 10 game of the year for some people.
Yeah,
I would
it's
think.
Definitely in my games of the year
so
far.
It's probably number two right
now.
It's
number two. It's number two right now for me under Zelda, really.
And for what it is, which is a very simple concept and like an old concept, right?
Yeah.
That's impressive to me, I think.
It is, yeah. They really nailed a lot with it, and I freaking love this game.
Yeah.
We're definitely playing more tonight, too. but yeah, that's about it for the regular news beyond what's going on at E3. I think we can move on to what's loaded up.
What's loaded now?
So Nick is on that JRPG binge, and he just beat Nier for the first time. Nier Automata.
Yeah.
For the first time.
How do you feel about Nier?
Like how you threw that in there.
Did we talk about it last week? We
did. I did.
Briefly, but you beat it now.
I did beat it. I know at the last episode.
Beat
I said,
it. Yes. Quotation.
I said, like, I know last episode, I was like, yeah, I'm at the part where it's, I'm feeling it's about to get really good. I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, no.
Because then it was just over.
It ended before you wanted it to?
Oh, definitely.
But sudden? It's not over, though.
But like, that's the thing is... But,
the story evolves. I've heard a lot of the endings get really good.
You're supposed to play it multiple times because New Game Plus isn't really New Game Plus. I mean, it is, but it's also just another story. I don't even know how to explain it.
They change a lot of elements of the story.
Yeah, like the first mission was completely different. Like I played it from a different perspective because I started it. And in a lot of ways, that's really cool. In a lot of ways, I hate that.
Why? Because you feel like you're never going to finish?
Well, no. It's just like...
I don't know, man. I mean, think about it. I mean, okay, technically it is a second playthrough, but if you think about it in terms of hours, you spent, what, 18 hours on the first
12,
playthrough? 12 hours. So you double that, the 24 hours. That's like the size of a normal game.
It
doing.
Is, but
it's
then
not
it's double, some
it's
of that,
more than that
some of that content
is repeated.
Is repeated.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
It cheapens that 12 hours. It's not 12 hours.
That's true.
Yeah.
There was a lot of side missions that you hadn't completed.
Yeah, I only did 30% of the side missions, but I had explored everywhere, so like.
I mean, I kind of love this idea because for me, as somebody who generally likes shorter games, I feel like I would blast through that 12 hours and really enjoy it and then not feel overwhelmingly pressured to continue, but would love to. Like, I would be like, okay, maybe I'll actually do the story again. And I talked about it last week, but Edith Finch, I beat that and I was just immediately like, oh, I want to replay this. So I feel like it would be cool to have like the 12 hours that you put in and then be like, all right, well, I don't know, maybe I'll come back to it or whatever.
I don't know. I mean, it's also forcing that upon the player. Like,
from what I've seen, you need to play it like four times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, you feel that push to go back and play it a second time. But when that third playthrough rolls around, you're like, eh. And I'm sure by the time the fourth one comes around, you're like, I'm not playing that
you
again.
You
want to
move on
that.
At that point, yeah.
So like coming off of JRPGs, I'm like, this game could have been so much better if it was like a 45-hour game. I would have loved it to death.
I agree with that. I mean, I haven't fully
played it. Well, we'll see.
It.
Who knows what happens in the other playthroughs. Like maybe they get super cool and have like really
I do know more story stuff gets developed as you go forward.
Well, that's amazing then. That's so cool.
Andrew, you got... arms on day one.
I did, yeah. I know last week we were talking about it and I was like, I don't know. Punch was trash. And it's true that honestly, it was a big like just red flag to me that the online demo was not working great. I couldn't even play it. I tried to play it multiple times during the day and you watched me try and I was like, I want to play ARMS again. I played it at PAX. I liked it and I couldn't. So I kind of was just like, I don't know. I have a bad taste in my mouth about ARMS now.
The online part of it is kind of weird also.
It's interesting. With the presentation, you go to a lobby. That's one version of online. You can do different modes, but the lobby is interesting. But before I get there, I just feel like I should explain my process of buying this.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. It was I work in Rockefeller Center, like I've mentioned, and it's right next to Nintendo's flagship New York store. So they always have cool stuff going on, and they always have everything in stock for the most part. And I was like, you know, it was a relaxing Friday, and I was kind of like, oh, I don't know, ARM seems cool, and I was been looking to get in to get more Joy-Con, because I always like the colored ones, but I don't have them. So they had the neon one, so I took a walk to the Nintendo store, and I just ended up picking up both. I was like, whatever.
You're going to impulse buy.
I got paid that week, I'll just go ahead and get it. When you're
looking forward to a weekend, it's like, oh.
Yeah, and it was a cool, you walk in, and I'm like, I got to get this. There's like 30 people playing in a new tournament at the new screens they set up in the store, and then they also had like banners and all that, new t-shirts, and the Joy-Con are so cool. Like the neon yellow Joy-Cons are just so sick. So I also did some research before I bought it because I don't like motion controlled games at all. I think obviously that's something that most people don't like at this point. It's something that I think the Switch is kind of silly.
It can kind of weigh down the experience of a game.
Yeah, I mean, it controls well enough in motion controls. Like when I demoed it at PAX, I really liked it.
Yeah.
But it's not something that I would want to do all the time with a game, especially something that I mostly play on the go, like on the train with friends or whatever.
Oh my God, just punching in the air on the train.
As hell. So,
punch the seat in front
of
you. So
I was happy to see in other people's reviews that they mentioned the Pro Controller and the normal handheld mode support was really good, and the controls were really tight, and they are. So I've been really enjoying ARMS. I've been playing, trying to figure out what my mains are. Right now I'm doing Kid Cobra and Twintel. Hashtag Twintel.
We talked
about her.
Noodle Girl.
She's bad. No, what's Noodle Girl's arms suck. I don't like Min Min.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't like those dragon arms.
You can unlock the arms that any character has for any character eventually.
Yeah, but it's kind of like a loot box approach, except you work for the loot box, which is interesting. Oh, so the way you unlock different arms is you get points from doing the Grand Prix mode, which is basically like the story mode, but not really. It's like subtle story stuff, kind of like Overwatch, but then also like the format of, say, Smash Brothers. So you go through 10 trials, and then there's like a master hand boss at the end. And then there's several different game modes, too. Like, there's volleyball and basketball modes, which are different and fun, changes of pace that are weaved in there.
Yeah.
When you go through that on any of the difficulty levels, which is also an interesting point, the difficulty is not just, like, easy, medium, it's hard, or whatever. 10, it's out of 10. So you can really feather, like, the AI difficulty through
So you're still getting smashed at 2, right?
Dude, I suck. But yeah, anyway, you accrue points from doing the Grand Prix mode, and then you use it to go to this, like, get arms menu, which you do a series of 3 challenges. And one of the challenges, or, you know, the only one I've had enough points to do is, like, you punch through different... it's like a time trial to punch through different targets.
Okay.
Kind of like Break the Target in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
And then at the end, depending on your score, you get something. So you randomly get, like, someone's arms... for someone else's character or whatever.
I need to play it more. You can sense it's sort of an amalgam of ideas that Nintendo has had so far.
It's
like,
cool.
Okay, we're going to take Wii Boxing, mix in some Smash Bros, and make some, like...
The characters have lots of personality. The graphics are cool. Yeah. It's a unique game, and I think... I got it largely because I'm just excited to have a new Nintendo IP and like feel like restored faith in Nintendo again, and especially after their really strong showing at E3, I was just like, oh, I want to get into ARMS and see it.
Well, I like the idea that it's like, oh, hey, like we're kind of dipping into esports a bit too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's it definitely has that vibe. But I've also been playing another Switch game, some more Binding of Isaac.
Yeah.
Me and my buddy Jordan have been playing on the train, and it's funny because it's a game that you can't play 2-player. Between 2 Switches. You have to do it split Joy-Con. So we've been trying to find ourselves in scenarios where we end up on the same side of the seat in the LIRR, trying to play the game, and then like, you know, setting it up on a backpack or something stupid like that.
Oh, okay.
But the game is so fun, and we like very nearly beat like New Game Plus Plus or whatever playing 2-player with that. But yeah, I just love Binding of Isaac.
Yeah,
lots of Switch play.
I hadn't played it in a while.
Playing a lot of Switch lately.
Suddenly, really. We were playing it last night, and you kind of have
suddenly.
Like, suddenly. And then you're like, hey, Mike, you want to play this? And Mike is suddenly being your boy with it.
It's so fun, yeah. And every time you spawn in your co-op partner, you're a different, like, little...
Always changes.
Yeah, it's cool.
I think we saw D.Va. I think we saw, from Overwatch, I think we saw Yoshi also.
We saw Yoshi. There's a Mario one. There's a whole bunch,
of course.
I don't even think I've seen all of them. But yeah, that's what I've got going on. You're finally playing Rhyme, though, huh?
Yeah, I'm a couple hours in. The game is ultra atmospheric. It's very peaceful. I love the music. Clear influences of Miyazaki and Studio Ghibli movies, specifically maybe Spirited Away.
Are you reviewing this?
I am reviewing
it. Okay, cool.
Especially with the music, I really feel that.
From what I saw, it looked great. Like, I've been waiting for this game for a long time. I was hyped about it, and then I'm just waiting for the Switch version.
It's very open, and it sort of incentivizes the idea of, like, hey, you're just exploring. And I wasn't expecting this. but the game has a certain pacing where it's very, everything flows into things and everything seems like it's meaning to happen in a certain way.
But it's relatively open.
Yes, but it's also relatively open, but like the moment of your character finding something, you kind of feel it in a certain way.
Interesting.
It's accented by the music. So I'm enjoying this a lot so far. I'm going to review it. Other than that, I was able to get, I'm renting Tekken right now.
Tekken 7.
Tekken 7.
Which is reviewing really well.
Yeah, it is.
So you're on kind of like a fighting game kick. I've got ARMS now. You've been playing Injustice, which you really liked and reviewed. Yeah. And then Tekken 7's out, which is... got better reviews than even Injustice did.
It did. It's got probably more depth for the competitive player to play to do.
Yeah, I think it's more combo based, a little bit more like the hardcore fighting.
Yeah, I'm really not that great at it. Obviously, when there's a game that has a ton of customization, I'm all for that. So, you know, I was able to take some characters, and this game is totally over the top. When you go into a match, it's like, get ready for the next battle in giant flaming letters, and I don't know, they're just really over the top. The music is killer. You can actually listen to all of the soundtracks from the previous Tekken games. There's a really in-depth story mode as far as like, hey, here's like a cutscene. You were watching that with me a little bit, and suddenly we have like a 5 to 8 minute cutscene, and we're like, oh, when is this? It seemed atypical.
Yeah, it was really long
for a fighting game.
And different styles too. It wasn't just like a cutscene. It was like going in between this like drawing-esque look and then into just straight up graphics.
Yeah,
it was weird.
There's also some weird, like, little interactive moments too. Like, hey, like, you want to like throw your son into the trash right now?
Oh yeah. Do you feel like if you knew the characters and stuff a little bit more, that you have a better connection with this game?
Probably.
But like, Injustice, even, you're familiar with all the, you know, superheroes.
Yeah,
because
they're all DC
characters.
But
Tekken, like, do you really care about what's going on? Or
no,
is it kind of just like,
I am missing something because I haven't played any of the other games so far.
Right.
But at the same time, it's still engaging to me. I'm still going to play more of it.
It seems fun. I don't know. I more personally more into what I've seen from Injustice than that game. That's just my own.
Again, that's, I think, part of it. I agree, too. I have a draw more to DC characters because I think it's more badass for me to be playing Batman or whoever rather than some over-the-top, crazy-haired Japanese fighter dude that I don't really know about.
Yeah.
But he's also a huge character, so I'm missing something.
Yeah,
I have to gain the knowledge of Tekken a little bit more.
You gotta learn how?
I gotta learn how. I apologize to Tekken fans out there that I'm a little ill-informed or whatever on the series. But
yeah, but it's good that you're keeping up with whatever games are coming out right now.
No, I've been kind of going out on a limb and playing more fighting games, which I hadn't done before. So, I mean, hopefully
it's
getting better.
It's definitely new for you.
Yeah, what's next?
And then... yes, partially due to Nintendo's return of Samus Returns game for 3DS, I was like, oh, let me pop back to my 3DS for a second. So I went and checked in on my Animal Crossing.
Everyone moved out. The village is on fire.
My Animal Crossing New Leaf Village, and they were like, hey, I haven't seen you in 6 months. They gave me the exact figure, and I was like, oh shit, has it been that long?
Oh shit.
None of the ones that I really didn't want to move out. All of them were there. I mean, my guy came out of his house and he was just yawning and I was like, oh God, this means I've been away for so long. And then, since we've been mentioning it, you guys are like, you're never going to go back to For Honor. I popped it back in and immediately got smashed. Like, I'm so bad at this game. Everyone who is playing it right now has like prestiged by like 20 times. And I'm just like, yeah, like I don't know anything. And I don't have access to the two DLC characters that have come out so far. It's kind of a steep paywall as far as like you either get the season pass or you pay 15,000 steel, which is the in-game currency, which is kind of a lot. You can't even try them, which you could with the other characters before, which is disappointing. And as soon as I fought a centurion, I think that's what they're called, the Roman gladiator type guy.
Yeah.
I didn't even get a hit on this dude. I got obliterated. And then it was one of those things where it's like, all right, I'm turned off. And then
I turn it off.
Do you feel
like it's like the hardcore crowd is there and they're just kind of like, get out.
Well,
get off my lawn, boy.
Get out. Nick was talking last week.
Pipe down.
Yeah.
Nick was talking about the figure of how like,
95% of the player base dropped off in the first 3 months.
I don't know how accurate that is, but like the people who stay...
The 5%.
Are hardcore as shit.
You're not the 5%.
I'm not the 5%. You pop back in, and those people like never stop playing, and they know every single tick of the game. I don't know. Yeah. So it was.
I got smashed, boy.
I got smashed.
I mean, that's why me and Nick didn't pick it up because we felt like this was going to be.
Yeah, we called it.
Before we even started the podcast, but we were like, you know, this game is going to come out. Was it before we started?
No, it was right when we started.
Right when we started the podcast, but.
Yeah.
Pete, we were just like, I don't know, this game, I foresaw that this was going to be like a two-monther. Like, it was going to be like 2 months, and then it's like never touched us again.
I mean, if all of us had gotten it and we were fighting each other, then that would have been fun.
It was cool briefly. I think it also came out around the time of Neo, and Neo definitely had our attention more than that. But yeah, it's funny that you popped that back in. But so that's anyway. About it for what's loaded up. Yep. I think we can move on to our E3 wrap-up now.
It's time for topic of the day.
Damn.
All right, so where are we starting?
All right, so, I mean, we haven't gone over Ubisoft, Bethesda, and Devolver's conferences yet. We've talked about everything else. Let's start with Devolver, because it was the most ridiculous.
It was awesome.
So they pre-recorded a conference where this lady came on, and she was hyped up. It was ridiculous.
Well, no, it got gradually worse and worse. Yeah. Like, it started off like, oh, it's a conference. Well,
they were trolling us. They made a point to be like, yeah, very, very good. Like, great crap. Like, they emphasized selling us things so much to be for comedic effect, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they were making fun of the whole, like, press conference thing. You know? They were making fun and poking fun at, like, Microsoft and Sony and everyone that comes out and is like, we've got the best games lineup available now and blah, blah, blah.
They had Tim and Eric style cutaways to a fake audience that were, like, in a movie.
Just, like, Getty Images footage of regular ass people.
Just,
in the
like, nodding their heads and eating popcorn. And then they had, like, a guy come up and literally throw money at a computer screen and then accidentally put his hand in, get it ripped off.
Yeah.
Blood all over the place.
Eventually, that was the best part.
It was like cringy at certain points
because it's supposed to be, and then eventually it all got glitchy. Essentially, they just
future.
The presenter was just
she got a nosebleed,
a horrible nosebleed,
and her head just explodes.
And it was and then her head exploded like which movie? Which
Scanners?
Scanners by David Cronenberg.
Like the same thing. But yeah, it was really funny. But the game, other than the ridiculousness of that, the games they showed looked like pretty cool. They showed Ruiner, they showed Serious Sam, like this like 2D multiplayer version,
a Bogus Detour,
and then a couple other things too.
Yeah, my only gripe would be that their over the top presentation kind of took away from the games in a way.
Definitely, yeah.
Like they didn't. It was too over the top for me to really like actually consider the games that they're putting out. But yeah, I mean, as far as being ridiculous, they won the ridiculous votes
that tops bringing out a car, dude. Come on,
yeah, and true 4K cars, dude. Yeah, Ubisoft had arguably one of the best showings at E3.
Yeah, they did. They started off really interesting with having Miyamoto come out on stage and then present the Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle game.
This is a combination that I would never have expected.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting collaboration between Ubisoft and Mario and Nintendo to make this I was talking about it. It makes sense because you think about Ubisoft, right? What are they going to do if they're going to partner with Nintendo?
Yeah.
What IP can they fuse with Nintendo properties that isn't like ridiculous?
Yeah.
So they're going to make the cutesy one, and the only one they really have is Rayman, and then the Rabbids are like, kind of suitable for the Mario world.
Yeah.
But this game looks really interesting, and before it came out, a lot of people shit on the Rabbids. They hate these weird ass little idiot things. They're basically just like minions. You know that whole trend where things are just kind of like little guys like with cutesy kind voices and are
derpy.
Goofy.
Yeah. But after this, they look a little more appealing to me.
Yeah, I wasn't one of the ones who was like, fuck the rabbits. Like, people are like vehemently against these
fuck
animals.
The rabbits.
Yeah. Like, I don't really care.
Animals.
I don't really give a shit about whatever they are. But the game looks really interesting. It's essentially Mario XCOM.
It's turn-based.
It's turn-based. You hide behind cover. You do these different, actions with your characters. But it looks... The art direction looks really cool, and the gameplay looks super fun. Yeah. So I'm kind of really sold on this game. I thought it was an amazing way to start the conference.
Yeah, it's coming to Switch on August 29th.
Yeah, which I can't wait for that. Like, I think that's going to be a great like pick-up-and-play Switch game, especially if there's multiplayer.
Yep.
And then they went through a slew of their games that we knew about as well. Yeah, we saw some more of Assassin's Creed Origins. They didn't actually spend too much time on Origins.
No, that was surprising.
But they did
they
did that weird-ass demo where they showed the TV with the glare on it. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
So they're just sitting there, and they're like, yeah, this game looks great, and it's just this horrible image. horrible coverage of the TV.
And I think they probably used their best footage in the Xbox conference, and they were like, shit, we gotta put something together.
Yeah.
that's fine, though, because, you know, Assassin's Creed could have easily taken over Ubisoft's conference, and I'm happy that they decided to
give that away. Which is, for me, a reason why I think they had one of the better conferences of the entire show. Because then they moved on to The Crew 2, which was announced, and then they finally gave a new date to the Fractured But Whole, the South Park game. It's coming out October 17th, and they showed footage.
I am really excited for this game.
It looks so good. When I was looking at this, I actually thought it was an episode. Like, I straight up did know it was the game. You can't tell whatsoever that it's the game. It looks just like a South Park.
They showed a lengthy amount of, like, zany actual gameplay where they had this kid, and I think I forgot the name of the kid in the show who has diabetes, which is now they make fun of it. Ridiculous. They walk into a strip club and they're trying to find information, so you're talking to the strippers and stuff. Ridiculous. And there was like
they're supposed to be 10 years old.
There's a lap dance mini game. It's absurd. But the thing that really caught me and they were talking about is how every single character was drawn as if it was pretty much for an episode,
right?
So it's essentially an episode of South Park as a game, which I'm totally for. I'm really excited to play this game.
Yeah, I can't wait. I don't know if I'm going to need to know too much about the Stick of Truth. Is that what it is?
I don't think so. I think this is totally different.
Okay, if it's totally separate, then I'm psyched. Yeah, so I heard the first game's really fun.
That's coming October 17th, and as far as the other release dates... Assassin's Creed Origins is October 2017, and The Crew is early 2018.
Right, and before we get into some of the new announcements they had, they also showed Far Cry 5, some more footage of that, which looked pretty brutal. Like, it showed this demo of the dude going down where they were like killing somebody, and like the cult is like straight up brutal.
Yeah, and they revealed that we're gonna have some co-op in the game too.
Mm-hmm. It continues to look really good to me. Like, I'm excited for Far Cry 5. I think that it's a really good choice to bring it to the United States. It's a great change of scenery, and it could be very relevant to our current climate in this country. In a controversial way, I'm sure, but I think that it's cool. Like, it looks really refreshing.
I think I'm a little bit obsessed with the idea of, like, here's ruined America, now here's that's your setting.
Yeah. Well, it is rural America. It's not like we're going to New York City and it's fucked up, you know?
No, but like a twisted version of things that you kind of might be familiar with, you know? Like, hey, here's like a burning car and like a supermarket, but it's destroyed or whatever, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm excited to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they don't have those anywhere else. Only America.
Only America.
Burning cars in supermarkets. Trademark.
No. That's the point. That's the point of why I like that. To see something that maybe is a little bit foreign or you don't necessarily see in America all the time. But
burning car in a supermarket?
No, burning car and a like destroyed, dilapidated town and supermarket. Like,
Nick's saying you see that in video games all the time.
That's not foreign at all.
But I think what you're trying to get at, Pete, is that it's mundane. It's regular shit that we see in our country all the time.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But yeah, it is typical in video games, but it's interesting for us because it's the typical thing we see every day.
Yeah, to see that set in the U.S.
Right. But Far Cry 5 is coming out February 27th, 2018. So it's next year. It's early next year. I think that's a good release date for it. But then we got a slew of new announcements. Skull and Bones is coming out in fall 2018, and it's essentially looks like Assassin's Creed Black Flag, but without Assassin's Creed.
Well, yeah.
Which I'm down for, because I don't like Assassin's Creed games that much. I loved Black Flag. I loved the ship parts. I really liked exploring, and I think that it looks just like the good parts of that game.
Yeah, they took the ship and the pirating and made that its own game.
Which is a great idea.
My question, though, is there really going to be any other parts of the game that are substantial? Like, I'd like to go on land. I'd like to do...
Nah.
I don't want them to emphasize
land
only...
Land DLC.
No. I don't want just ship combat. And after seeing Sea of Thieves, that was an announcement.
It's the Year of the Pirate. There's so many pirate games.
But, like, them going on land and fighting some skeletons and getting the loot.
Oh, it looks so good.
Getting the treasure and actually digging shit up and stuff like that. Like, I'd really like to actually go to some pirate havens and actually be on the land.
Yeah.
I hope they don't stress... obviously the sea warfare is going to be a critical and huge part of the game, one of the most fun parts, But I don't want to just see an overemphasis of that. I want to see more. So I guess we'll
Yeah, I think Ubisoft is actually making interesting choices with their IPs with like Steep and then this. It's kind of like, oh, they're testing the waters with these games that like might fail, but they might also end up being really interesting. Like I think Ubisoft has this like two-game curse where the first game is always kind of like a tech demo or like not as good as what they show. And then the second game ends up being badass. Like if you look at, I don't know, Watch Dogs is a good example.
Yeah.
That came out, and it was just like, oh, this is nothing like what they showed. And then Watch Dogs 2 was like, oh, okay, this is really good now. Like, people really like that game.
Well, we're still some ways off. They said fall 2018.
Yeah, that's going to take a while, but it looked really good already. Like, it looked graphically like it was there. So I guess they're just narrowing down what they want to put in the game.
Yeah.
But then arguably the biggest announcement and one of the biggest announcements at E3 period was Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yeah.
Got a reveal trailer. Which people have been asking for. There's kind of a cult following for this game.
Yeah.
I missed it when it first came out.
It didn't sell that great, and it's developed a cult following since.
Mm-hmm. But the trailer looked like hyper real and like crazy.
This is, correct me if I'm wrong, this is a prequel to that game?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a prequel
or not.
I think so. But yeah, it looks kind of like, I don't know, like a goofy cyberpunk...
mixed with actual like animal-human hybrids.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a... what's the movie? Blade Runner-esque.
Yeah.
But like, you know, with Adam, weird pig
boys. A little more grungy.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't know. It looks cool. I'm excited that people are excited about it. Whenever people are like super amped about anything, especially at a show like this, I'm like, oh, maybe I should check this out. So that was a huge announcement from them. They closed the show. And another reason why I thought this was a great show for Ubisoft, because they announced a new IP, a couple new things, and then they also, you know, said, oh, we're bringing back this like really great series that people have been asking for a long time. And the was it the producer that came out? He came out and he was like crying on stage. And it was like, you know, it was a nice moment, even though it was, you know, you think, oh, this dude's faking it. But it looked genuine to me. Like Ubisoft's entire press conference seemed very genuine. And like it took me by surprise because I don't really like the way Ubisoft operates, especially recently. So I really enjoyed their conference. And,
no, I agree.
And what they showed
and
there.
I think the fact that it took me by surprise makes me like it a little bit even more.
Mm-hmm.
It, oddly enough, when I'm surprised in a good way, it just reinforces itself.
Yeah. But then there's a couple others. They talked about Steep, Starlink, Battle for Atlas, which looks like kind of like No Man's Sky. Was that the VR game?
I don't know. I know.
I heard people at E3 really enjoyed playing it. And then they had, of course, a presentation for Just Dance, which is just like clockwork. That game comes out every year. And then Transference,
which is a weird VR game that Elijah Wood is working on.
Yeah, it looks really interesting. It's about like putting your consciousness into the video game, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was pretty much everything from Ubisoft, which I really like their conference a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched Bethesda. It was really late at night for us here. It was like 12:30 that it came on.
They announced some new DLC coming out in September for Dishonored.
Which I'm going to go ahead and say personally, I thought Bethesda was probably the weakest conference I saw of the entire show.
Definitely. There was a lot of salt from the community about some of the things that they announced.
So
one of the things that I am excited for, but now I am questioning more and more, is the VR. So we had Fallout VR, which is coming October 2017 for the HTC Vive. Mm-hmm. We have Doom VFR, which is later this year. And they also announced Skyrim for VR. But as far as the way those games are presented, a lot of people were able to try it for like 10-minute sessions at E3. And I hadn't realized, but I know now that the way you can move in those games is you essentially like look somewhere and you teleport there and you cannot move from that spot. You can't physically move through this space. You just teleport
a lot of VR games do that. It's an attempt to, you know, not make players nauseous, but also I think it's, I don't know if
well,
it's a
yeah,
development
but the thing,
thing
is for a game like Skyrim, it really... I'm
you're
going
to want to feel what it's like to walk around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
And
I hope they've changed
stationary
that.
Stationary in a combat game, it's, it widens it down in a way.
I also
heard that it made it much more difficult. A game like Skyrim...
you're trying to move.
Might have to get scaled down the difficulty because of this. Because of just the general
crossover
to VR.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't come out and flop. I've also heard that Fallout 4 for the Vive doesn't have 3D audio, which is a crucial ass part of VR.
Not?
So I don't know if they're going to fix that, but you can't. Like, how are you just going to put stereo sound into... Yeah, and, it's, like, the most immersive part of...
Yeah, in Fallout, like, you can hear, like, a gunfight, like...
You want
a mile, a mile south, like, behind you.
Exactly.
It's just like, I want to go be part of that.
Yeah, exactly. Of course. So, troubling news from them. But, yeah, they also announced Dishonored Death of the Outsider DLC in September, which Dishonored is great. I want to get into Dishonored 2 at some points on my list, my backlog. I don't know. I just felt like their conference was just weird. Like, I really didn't like the video interlude they did of, like, the Fallout-esque kind of, I don't know, Pet Boy-esque looking, like, oh, and now we're going to... It was, like, Bethesda land.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, oh, now we're going to go check out Fallout 4. And, like...
They tried to have a continual theme.
I didn't really like it too much.
No, there were a couple standouts, though. I thought Wolfenstein 2, the new Colossus, looked pretty damn good.
It looked good, but the trailer was really confusing to me.
Why was it confusing?
I don't know. It felt like... I didn't really understand what was being shown. They showed, like, really long clips at a time of, like, very specific points in the story.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, what... I don't know what I'm... looking at or seeing or hearing, and I was just like, I don't know. And then they showed gameplay, and I was like, oh, this looks pretty cool.
It seems like they took, like, they didn't pick the right bits of the game to show us necessarily. They showed us, like, a very, as you said, a very specific moment that seemed like it was out of context.
Yeah, it made it felt very disjointed to me. I don't know.
I mean, it looked good to me, though. I didn't play New Order. I think maybe I would.
It's on sale right now on Steam for $10. Same with the expansion pack for it.
The game's coming out for PS4, Xbox One, and PC on October 27th. And we also got a pretty good trailer for Evil Within 2.
Which was really weird. It was just like a horror compilation of all the things. It was like this man in milk, and then...
Man in milk.
He was just dipping in milk chocolate, and then he was just like, goes out of the milk chocolate, and then it's like some nightmares going on, and he's like, wait, let me return my milk. And then he goes back in the milk chocolate.
It's
just weird as fuck. And then he's like, wait, I want to escape the milk now at the end. And then he's like, you're trapped. The milk has you, boy. You've been coming to that milk.
The milk's a metaphor, man.
The milk's a metaphor. You know what it reminded me of? You know in Dark Souls 3 when you're dipping your head in that stupid-ass wax?
Oh, yeah.
I actually love that part of the game. You just dip your whole body in that milk wax.
In that wax. All right, so I know we mentioned there was some controversies at the top of talking about Bethesda.
Yeah.
And thought we'd go into detail about that because this is also released at their conference. And it was the Creation Club.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't think of
what
the name was, so I had to look it up.
Oh, yeah.
So if anyone's not familiar, Bethesda tried to make it so you had to pay for mods back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to outrage.
Memes all over the place.
You are never, ever going to demand money for a mod from the PC community because you'll get destroyed if you do that. And instantly they reversed that. That was never going to work. So obviously they've had this plan in the works to try to get people to pay for mods.
Yeah.
Because they could see the money they could be making. So they created this Creation Club, which essentially is a bunch of new content for Fallout 4 and Skyrim, which has, like, new armor sets and new textures and yada, yada, yada. And essentially what
created
it is...
Created by the community.
It's created by the community, but you have to use credits to buy them. But you get these credits through microtransactions. So essentially they've brought back paid mods. Just kind of try to hide it behind a wall of paint. And the community noticed that right away, and they got fucking blasted.
Why? Mud why crab armor confirmed.
Why now? Why now?
That's another thing that blows my mind with Bethesda is they've been milking and milking and milking their series for years now. Like, Fallout 4 was not good to me. I didn't really like Fallout 4. I think a lot of people were really disappointed with that, especially because Fallout 3 was great. Skyrim was great. But then they've just been doing the same shit. Like, stop making Skyrim everywhere. Yes, I'm excited to play it in VR. I'm guilty of this. Also, I'm excited to play it on Switch because I'm just like, I want everything on Switch.
$120.
But with the shit with the mods now, it's just that community has been what it is. Just leave it. Just leave it alone.
It's
ridiculous. Already make your $1 billion with fucking putting your game on every platform with your DLC packs, with your remasters that are $60. I'm going to pay $60 for this fucking shit again, and I've had it 15 times since 2011 when it came out.
It's an actual real life shut up and take my money moment.
No, it's so annoying. I just I don't want to do it. Like, I actually want to abstain from playing their games because of the way they treat this shit with the money. It's really disappointing.
Skyrim abstinence.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Skyrim and Fallout need to be reborn anyway. So
I think they do. I think
they
Elder Scrolls,
up.
I should say.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about this last time. They need brand new physics engines, brand new people writing the stories, everything. They need to literally just rebrand, like, in the same way Nintendo's doing
maybe
with
their IPs. Maybe not the writing of the actual stories. For
I didn't
Skyrim
like Fallout 4 at all.
A lot of people
Fallout
didn't like 4
Fallout 4 was horrible.
Well, for Fallout, but Skyrim I've been fine with.
Skyrim's all right.
Skyrim's got your cookie cutter story.
The game has been surpassed like 30 times at this point as far as open world stories go. Yeah. It's just they need big change. They
need
to just come out and be like
rebrand.
Completely change their shit up. But yeah, that was Bethesda. Nick, what's this? What do you have on Square Enix?
They didn't have their own like conference, but I think they had their little video thing.
Yeah.
And the only nothing huge came out of this. I was kind of disappointed because they had like listed like what they were going to do, and they had this thing called Final Fantasy 15 Universe, and I was like, oh, maybe they're going to release something cool for Final Fantasy 15, and all they did was show a trailer for everything they've already released in the expanded universe, and I was like, what the fuck? Was the
they did at PSVR announce the fishing game.
Yeah, they did. That. But they threw that in the trailer.
It's funny.
It's like a little pat on the back.
It was like, just like Final Fantasy 15 Universe, and then it was like the anime and the future film and the DLCs. You're like, what the fuck?
Get hype.
When the fish game comes out, I'll get it, and we can play it at your house or something, because I'm excited to try that
fucking fish.
It'll be stupid. It better not be more than $20, or else I'm gonna smash them.
All right, I don't think it's gonna be that much.
That much? I don't know. Well, I'm gonna hit you guys with something big right now.
What?
I want to know your top three game announcements or just general announcements from
E3. Yeah, so we're moving on from basically the conferences. We're gonna talk about our personal top three announcements and game of show for each thing that we saw at E3 this year.
And get hype.
And then we're going to talk about what our listeners had to say on social media to us.
Yeah, we did some polls.
We did some polls, and we got some interesting comments and stuff on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, which is funny and awesome.
Yerp.
So, Pete, do you want to start? Like, what was your number three?
Are we going to go, like,
three? Let's go round robin again.
Number three was South Park Fractured But Whole.
Okay.
I didn't think I would be as pumped for this game, but I've actually been recently watching more South Park.
Play the first one.
I know. I know it's a similar type of thing.
Play it. Just fucking play it.
I know.
You'll love it.
Just play it.
I was surprised.
Yeah, no, we can get that on the cheap on PS3.
Yeah. Wait, you've also got it. You've got it. Well, when you do get your PC, have it. I pirated that game.
Scumbag.
Yeah, pirates. So that's my number three. I just genuine excitement to play that game.
That's cool. Nick, what about you?
I don't really have an order. That's the thing.
I don't have an order either. No, I don't have an order. I'm honestly like thinking as I go too, like, because I'm just like, what did I really get hyped about?
Yeah.
I have three things, but they're going to be out of order.
Yeah. I've got two. I don't know if I have a third one, so I'll start off.
Well, you'll have time.
Kirby, definitely.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That. It's been such a long time.
We're going to have overlapping ones, too. It's
been
such a long time since I've played like a classic-looking Kirby like that. And I had actually downloaded a emulator for my phone. Actually, me and my roommates did. And we and the emulator actually had Bluetooth like syncing up, so you could do like link cable stuff. So we played Kirby and Amazing Mirror, four of us, when we were sitting in class on our phones. And it was just it's hard to control on a touchscreen, but it was fun as shit. So I'm hoping to go back to something like that.
Yeah, definitely. We made a video about it. It totally like threw me back to the Crystal Shards days. Yeah. And we had Tilt and Tumble and a couple other ones too on the Game Boy.
That co-op though.
Co-op looks so good. The graphics look so nice. It just, oh man, it's going to be another perfect Switch game. That's definitely within my top five too. Like, I won't mention it again, but Nick, you definitely nailed it.
How about you, Andrew?
Let me think. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say Mario and Rabbids, the Kingdom Battle.
Really?
That surprised the shit out of me. Like, like I said, the Rabbids thing is stupid as hell.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was amazing for Ubisoft to just see Miyamoto come stomping out. And they're just like have these guns and it's like XCOM.
I mean,
and it just looks like another perfect Switch game, like I said.
I always get really happy whenever I just see Miyamoto.
He's just such a happy man.
An infectious smile. He's just like, yeah, I'm Miyamoto.
Yeah.
I made all your favorite games.
That's definitely within my top three favorite moments of the entire E3 this year.
Yeah.
Was that reveal.
I'm happy that Nintendo is collaborating more.
Yeah, it's cool. They're going into the mobile world. They're kind of dipping their toes. They're like, wait a minute. They're coming out of the cave. They're like, wait, there's people out here? Let's collaborate. So yeah, that was my number three, I guess, or no order. What about you?
For me, my number two would have to be, I mean, I guess you can count this as two or I don't know. But both the Metroids.
Yeah, both the Metroids.
I'm gonna count them as one and the same because we just saw the announcement for Metroid Prime 4. But what's it called? Samus Returns.
That was huge.
The actual substantial footage that we saw, and the fact that it's like, oh, okay, I'm gonna have something to play on my 3DS again.
Yeah,
I mean, it looked great to me. I am excited to play this game.
Yeah, I'm excited to get two different, like, it's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, there's different
you've got the Switch
too.
Exactly. You've got the Switch, which is their console, which you're going to get Metroid Prime on, but you can also bring it handheld. Yeah. And then you've got the standard, like, 2D remake of Metroid 2, which is so cool.
Well, the notion of, like, you can have two simultaneous, like, game series within the same franchise. I enjoy that. You know, they're going to be different games, the Prime and this one, so... Yes, Nintendo, yes.
Yes. All the Nintendo.
Yes. Hashtag yes, Nintendo, yes.
Hashtag
so far, all Nintendo announcements. Are, you realize that, right?
Oh,
yeah. No, actually, Fractured Butthole. But
Fractured Butthole, yeah.
Well, it's Fractured Butthole.
Butt, comma, hole.
Nick, do you have a number two?
Yeah, I'm going to say Spider-Man.
Spidey!
Hell yeah, Spider-Man was dope.
I think that was probably the strongest game in Sony's conference, so I'm probably going to go there with that
one. One of the best at the show, too.
Yeah, overall. Out of the big... Between them and Microsoft, like, if you're going to pit them head-to-head, like, fucking Spider-Man swept everything.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Everything that they showed in comparison was...
I think they had the best singular video of anything at E3, to be honest.
There was a good balance of gameplay, good balance of cinematic stuff.
Definitely, definitely.
Gonna give you a good feel for what the game was going to be like.
Yeah. my next one... Damn, I just completely blanked on it. No, sorry. Shadow of the Colossus.
Of course.
Of course. I mean, I almost had a panic attack. I heard the music and I saw the shit and I was like, it was one of my favorite games. Yeah, and the graphics look amazing. I'm just so glad they're doing this. Yeah. I had the HD remaster on PS3, but I'm always down to play this again.
Yep.
It looks good. It just looks so good. We already talked about it.
Fucking beautiful.
Fucking beautiful.
That's I don't know.
I want to hunt some monsters. That's my number one. Monster Hunter World looks so good.
Well, you like teared up, boy.
Yeah, I mean, I said this a couple times already, but I was bawling when I saw that. I don't know why, because I played
can't imagine it,
dude.
Can you say
saw,
you
no,
say
he wasn't bawling. He wasn't bawling, but
I
saw the boy with tears
crying
in his eyes.
And I mean, I have played these games, but I've never been really great at them. But it's also one of those ones that, like, this was one of the first truly challenging games that I connected with when I played Monster Hunter 1. I also had Freedom on, I think, the PSP, but I didn't really play it very much. And then Andrew and I have been playing Generations recently on the 3DS. I am just very excited to have a true console one that we can play. Oh, and PC. I will probably play it on PC. But I want to play it with you guys. I want to try this game really badly.
Nick?
The Monster Hunter series?
Yes. Yeah, the next one. Oh, we're going to get it. We're going to get it together. I'm forcing it upon you guys.
Like boss battle, but like tracking it down throughout the entire
thing. Yeah, and we're also going to... Yeah. I'll gift it to someone if necessary.
That's where we go.
Dude, Monster Hunter is going to be so good.
I know.
It's going to be so good. To have a crew with. I've never played that game with more than two people.
I know.
So I can't wait.
Nick, do you have a number one?
I don't know.
I can go next if you want.
If you don't have one, that's fine.
I really don't. I thought this conference in general was just meh. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, this can kind of lead into how we felt about the entire show in general and who we thought had the best showing. For me... my game of the show was Super Mario Odyssey.
Mm. It was for a lot
They
of
showed
people.
It again, and I just think what they've showed was just so, I don't know, like
what?
The 2D gameplay, the having extra coins in the different worlds and unlocking new skins for Mario looks so good. Like
I think
the co-op announcement, the lengthy amount of gameplay they showed, it just looked, and the fact that it's coming out this October is just incredible. And for me, it just kind of like nailed to me that, okay, Nintendo had the best conference.
I feel like they probably pleased the most people with that. It's like, here's enough old Mario that you're satisfied, and also here's enough new Mario and the new direction that it can go, and here's the future of Nintendo. Like,
they
right
just
here.
Nailed everything. They did fan service with their, you know, old stuff. They showed
a
new Metroid's coming out. A new Pokemon's coming out. Oh, here, by the way. Like, there's just so many great things coming to the Switch and 3DS in the next year that they just, to me, nailed it. So Nintendo won the show for me.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Before we do that, Nick, do you have a number one?
I did get a number one, but... And it would have been the Pokemon announcement if we had known more about it.
Yeah,
but right
they
now,
showed footage.
Right now, if it's anything like newer gen, I'm going to instantly just be like, eh. But like, if it is what we were talking about last time, I would have definitely said, like, hell yeah. But... Square Enix does have I have a soft spot in my heart for them, obviously, because I grew up with Final Fantasy, and they finally released a date for their fighting game, Dissidia.
Which
had been on fucking in arcades in Japan for so long, and people have been screaming for it on PS4 because they made a PSP version of the original game like way long ago, which I played the shit out of till I broke my PSP. So I'm finally gonna get it on PS4 because it's one of my favorite fighting games of all time. and it's ridiculous. It's just fucking anime ridiculous fighting. And
you play as Cloud?
Of course you play as Cloud. They feature...
He's in Smash Bros. Now.
They feature two characters and the villain from every game, I think. So it's a lot of fucking characters.
I mean, that's cool. I did not know this game existed.
It's not like a big pop. It's not a popular game. It's really not.
Well, I mean, you've said it hasn't really been around available in the U.S.
No, it hasn't. And it's just been in arcades in Japan.
Yeah.
But they added this like 3-on-3 fighting mode, which is going to be fucking balls out ridiculous.
Well, that sounds kind of like Marvel versus Capcom to me, like the switching thing.
Or is it's three people on the screen, it looks like, which kind of looked hectic as shit, so I'm curious to see how that's gonna handle.
That's cool.
We're seeing more Japanese games coming over, which Monster Hunter World, I guess the title kind of alludes to this, but Monster Hunter hadn't really been as accessible in the U.S. and now we're kind of getting that a little bit, so that's another one of the reasons why
I was also really hyped to see Sonic.
Oh, yeah.
Sonic Mania. I really liked what they showed. I really can't wait for that game. I just want Sonic Mania on Switch.
Another great game on Switch.
And Rocket League. Yeah. There's so many different things that happened at the Switch conference that I was just like, oh man, like I'm so happy to own a Switch right now.
Hell yeah.
Well, you know what? Technically,
just kicked the table.
The Metroid game for 3DS was in the Treehouse.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it
wasn't like part conference. Of the full conference. But yeah, still going to bundle it in.
Yeah, exactly. They do their own thing.
Yeah.
So do you guys have like a best of show? Like, who do you think had the best showing this year? Well, it wasn't like a particularly like incredible year. It felt like E3 2016.5. PS4 Pro. It was kind of like a half-assed like update on last year's stuff. But I did really like I said, for me, the reason why Nintendo won is because they provided release dates for the content they already said is coming out, and then they announced really exciting new things.
Yep.
We've got a Pokemon game on the way, we've got Kirby, Yoshi, and we've got all these third-party games signing on still.
I'm going to have to agree that Nintendo won.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know how to describe this.
With a close second for Ubisoft for me, honestly. Yeah.
They had a lot... sorry, I'm trying to gather my thoughts.
That's all right.
What are the reasons that you really thought that Nintendo won? I think
they just showed the right things. They did fan service.
Yeah.
They showed things that we already knew about and gave release dates, and then they provided new games. They were
Here's why. So they kind of fell off the earth for me for a while.
Yeah.
Of course they were dominating with the 3DS and their handhelds. They've been strong historically for their handhelds. But even since Wii, like I kind of dropped off at the Wii then I didn't really hear it since like 2007 or so. Like Nintendo kind of fell out for me.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's suddenly like, here's Nintendo, they're back. And meanwhile, Sony and Microsoft are having their competition. It seems like they're big competitors with each other. But Nintendo has like this unique position now where the Switch is successful and they have this successful thing going forward, and it just feels like Nintendo is back.
Yeah, I agree with you. I totally felt like that. And it's funny because there's all these memes, all these things on Reddit where it's just like, here's your 4K console and it's the best thing ever and it's $500. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, but Kirby though, we went, and then like, you know, drops the mic or whatever. Like they can literally make games that are 2D. They could remake Samus games. They can redo whatever. There's just such nostalgia and love for Nintendo's IPs that it doesn't fucking matter about your 4K Minecraft or whatever the hell they're announcing at Microsoft. People just want game announcements, and the Switch and Nintendo has always been doing that. Like, it's never about specs or hardware for Nintendo. They're always doing something different, and they're the console right now that is really the only thing you need if you don't have a PC, unless you want exclusives on PS4, because they don't exist on Xbox, really.
The simplicity and quality that they have, they're becoming consistent again. I think they have a great 2 years for their launch of the new system, and I'm looking forward to being a Nintendo boy again.
Exactly. And like, the Switch is such a big part of my life now. It's like I use it every day. I bring it down the train, I bring it home, we play like when we're hanging out on the weekend. So I love it.
Well, Nick, what do you think of all this? Who do you think won?
I don't think anybody did. The conference, like you were saying, is just kind of eh. If I had to say who was a winner, and this is going to be like ridiculous, I'm going to say Microsoft for the comedic effect.
Oh, God, no.
Because, God damn it, you couldn't make any more memes if you tried. Because, God damn it. Yo, 4K, 60 frames. No. Everything runs dynamic. It's not native. And, no. We got Destiny runs 30 frames. Like, so come
they,
on.
Well, that, the, well, meme the, game, the Destiny thing, it's explainable because obviously it has to run on the old hardware, it has to run on all the consoles, so they're not going to do... Bungie's not going to make it like 60 on whatever.
Don't fucking make the console, goddammit.
I know. It's just... It's funny because you can clearly see where the other companies are putting their money. You got Microsoft and Sony who are investing in premium hardware.
I mean, I love premium hardware, but they just implemented it the wrong fucking way.
Yeah, and the buzzwords they use are really... cringy, and I think it's kind of almost insulting to people's intelligence.
It is. That's
because
the thing.
It's like, dynamic 4K, true 4K, and we've got a 4K 60 FPS console. And it's like, here's the thing. True hardcore gamers that have gaming PCs and are up to date with specs call your bullshit immediately when you start saying you have a 4K 60 frames per second console. Like, you're not getting the hardcore audience by saying these things. You're just making... You're just making people who don't know what they're talking about feel like, oh, they did numbers.
Fueling the console wars.
Exactly. So it's just fucking stupid, shady marketing.
No, because then there's the illusion of, like, okay, now Microsoft has the strongest, the best system. Yeah. Best is not necessarily best, you know?
I agree.
But they're giving the perception that it is.
It wasn't a horrible conference. I think last year's E3 for Microsoft was, like, abysmal. This one was, like, regular, which they needed a banger of a conference, but they didn't have it.
And I mean, if you are someone who can afford getting this and who has a 4K TV and this would be an enjoyable experience for you, I'm all for that.
If this is your first console, I wouldn't even recommend this.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like you said, if you have enough money to afford a 4K TV,
too many prerequisites.
Don't get a 4K TV, get a 2K monitor, build a fucking PC.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's what I did. I don't have a 4K TV, but I have the monitor and the PC to run everything great. I don't know. It's just, I feel like all these companies have, it's interesting, like I said at the beginning of E3, is that all these companies now are in different places, and it hasn't been this way in a long time. There was a point during last generation where everything evened out, right? The beginning was weird. We had PlayStation come out with this expensive ass console with Blu-ray in it, and then Microsoft took over just coming out with like the third party spot with like regular hardware or whatever, and then it kind of evened out near the end, and now we're in this place where Microsoft is trying to swing back at Sony for making the PS4 Pro, which is not as good as it should be.
Yeah.
And then Nintendo's just over here like, fuck all y'all. I'm making a tablet and we make these fun-ass games.
They exist in their own sort of space.
Yeah, everything exists like in very different spaces at this point. And I feel like Nintendo is just letting the idiots duke it out while they just run away with shit. Because they're at the end of the day, they're just making good first-party games.
Yeah.
And they've actually, this time, since the success of the Switch, have attracted third-party developers again, which is why we're getting NBA 2K or NBA 18, FIFA 18, Rocket League.
Collaborations
with Ubisoft within the first like 5-6 months of the console coming out.
Yep.
So they did a great job.
Very,
and
very promising.
Twitter agreed with us.
Yeah.
We did a poll on there, and 77% of our followers voted for Nintendo as the winners of E3 this year.
Yeah.
We also polled for Sony and Microsoft as well. Sony got 15% of the votes and Microsoft got 8%. And then we did other for the other conferences, and nobody voted for those.
We also asked on Instagram and Facebook just like, what did people think?
Yeah.
So Sandman PR vlog said Nintendo, and he said that easily Super Mario Odyssey was his most his favorite game at E3.
Yeah,
which it was for a lot of people. They had a great showing there.
Mm-hmm.
Trill Talk 211 said that Xbox, of course, is her favorite.
Yeah, which is interesting. And we always reply to these people because I want to know why. So like Sandman replied back because I said he said Nintendo, and I was like, well, what did you like most there? And he said easily Mario Odyssey. But Trill Talk didn't respond back. But it's interesting to see that people really still like Xbox. And our friend Steve Friedman, who we had on the podcast with Frog's Milk Games, he responded to our Instagram saying, would you buy an Xbox One X day one? And he said, yes, of course, next question.
Yes, next question.
So it's like, I want to talk to you guys. Like, what is it that sold you on this console? Because for us, I just was not sold on anything Microsoft did. Just everything from their non-exclusive games to their hardware and the way they marketed
it. Their 4K car.
Yeah.
Nick's brother Ari said, PS4 rules with a Z, Xbox One sucks.
He tried to be a meme lord, but
he's very meme lordy.
I don't know.
He just showed his age. Is that what you're trying to say?
He just showed his age. I'm sorry, Ari, but like Sucksors? Is that like
I don't?
That
even,
sounds like Starcraft. That sounds like
Starcraft.
Starcraft.
Oh,
Starcraft. What the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck, dude?
Fuck. There was a funny comment. We were asking, of course. We made a post about Mario being a little bit shady. Because
he can possess people
that
now.
That he can possess like a random hat. Man or whoever on the street. And Zach the Ogre on Instagram said, Mario's really a dark sorcerer conquering and stealing the minds and souls of people from different worlds. Mario equals Shang Tsung.
Yeah. that's how we framed the post, and it was... Because it's so weird. His hat could possess people in New Donk City now. It's fucking odd. Yeah. It was just weird to see. So I made this really, like, odd, you know, silly.
Oh, shit, dude.
Oh, fuck.
Oh my God,
I'm sweating. It's so hot in here.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. If you have any other comments or not concerns, well, yeah.
Stop saying concerns. Are you concerned? Up with that fucking language.
If you want to talk to us,
just hit us up. You find us on our social media.
Concern for Pete's health?
Yeah. Well, concerns, like, as far as, do you have any feedback for us? Like,
yeah, if you have any feedback, not concerns, though. Just enough with that word. If you have any feedback.
Oh, my God.
You can't even speak. Hit our website at praisethegame.com for everything on there. All of our social media is there. And yeah, we're, you know, chugging along.
Yeah,
this is E3. We're done with it.
Hit us up on our handles.
I'm happy to go back to regular
Twitter
content.
And Instagram and everything else. We're all over the place.
Yeah, praisethegame.com.
Look up for
praisethegame.com. You find it.
Yeah.
Like I said last week, Edith Finch, I finished my review finally. We're going to put it up this week because this week was busy with E3. So it's done. It'll be up this week if you want to check that
I am reviewing Rhyme. And Nick, are you going to review Nier? I thought you said you were.
I'm going to. I'm just going to figure out how many times I want to play it before I want to review it.
Just review each separately.
Yeah. I just put like four scores on the bottom of it.
Oh, God. That's funny.
I might, but I don't want to sink that much time into it either. I'm going to go on too.
Yeah, understandable.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Praise the game.
Praise the game.
Yeah, praise it.